Chapter 5. That evening, Father and Hawthorne picked at their dinner. Dahlia ate only half a turnip. Nori couldn't even manage that. Her throat was clogged with held-back tears. No one talked about what had happened. No one spoke at all. As soon as he finished his food, Father turned invisible and went to his still-invisible office. He didn't come out for the rest of the night. Hawthorne let Nori stay up late in front of the television. He made her toasted marshmallows. Dahlia coaxed a rabbit to cuddle in Nori's lap. Still, they didn't talk about what happened. Not that night, nor any of the days and nights afterward. Nori wasn't sure what happened to kids who didn't get into any schools. Nobody would tell her. The one time she asked Hawthorne, he said not to worry about it now. Lots of kids went to public schools, but Father didn't like them. He would hire a governess, maybe, to teach her at home. Summer stretched toward fall. Nori played with her friends from Woodydale Ordinary School. She heard them talk about the schools they'd gotten into. She admired their new talents without ever showing them hers. She read books. She watched movies. She kicked a soccer ball around the yard. She remained scared to ask Father what would happen to her when school started. So she never did. One cool August evening, Father's phone beeped during dinner. He checked it and pushed back his chair.
"She's on her way," he said to Hawthorne. "You'll take care of everything?"
Hawthorne hesitated. Then he dropped his gaze.
"I will," he said.
Father strode from the room, going invisible as he did so.
"Who's on her way?" Nori asked. "What will you take care of?"
Hawthorne lit his paper napkin on fire and put it out again. Dahlia offered a spoonful of jam to the ferret at her feet.
"What's going on?" Nori persisted.
"I'm here," called a vibrant voice from outside.
Through the open kitchen window flew a sturdy-looking white woman. She wore jeans and sneakers. Her short hair was sticking up every which way. She swerved neatly into the dining room and lowered herself gently onto the floor. Nori's mouth fell open. It was Aunt Margot. She hadn't been to visit since Nori's mother had died 6 years before. Margot hugged Hawthorne and Dahlia, saving Nori for last.
"Oh, my little Nori, you've grown so big!"
"I have?"
"And I hear you're quite a talent. Have you got your stuff?"
"Huh?"
Aunt Margot's eyebrows shot up.
"Shirts, jeans, jammies, your toothbrush. I can come back for your cold weather clothes, but you'll need the basics."
Nori turned to Dahlia and Hawthorne. They wouldn't meet her eyes.
"Oh, seriously," said Aunt Margot. "Did they not tell you?"
"Tell me what?"
Nori replied in a tiny voice.
"Sheesh! Why doesn't anyone in this family talk about anything?"
"Sorry," muttered Hawthorne. "I was getting around to it."
Aunt Margot lifted off the floor so high she nearly touched the dining room ceiling. She banged on it with her fist.
"You need to talk about things, Stone," she yelled to Nori's father. "It's bad to not talk about things with your own children."
Nori gaped.
"He won't listen to me," Margot said, lowering herself back to the floor. "He never did, and never will, but it still feels good to speak my mind."
Nori thought it would feel even better to change the subject.
"Father said you drive a taxi," she blurted. "He says you don't get paid much. Actually, he says you're poor, which is why we haven't seen you in forever."
"Nori," Dahlia scolded.
"Meh,"
said Aunt Margot. "I'm not poor. I'm just not rich. And I don't drive a taxi. I am a taxi."
She pointed to the logo on the front of her T-shirt. Double M Flying Taxi. Despite herself, Nori was impressed. All flyers could fly, or they wouldn't be flyers. But very few could take passengers. Hawthorne went to the coat closet and pulled out a blue duffel bag. He put it by the front door.
"I got her packed," he said, not looking at Nori.
Nori's lip trembled.
Father's getting rid of me because I flunked the big test?
It's not like that, said Dahlia.
It's just for a little while, Hawthorne promised.
For your education, said Dahlia. You'll come visit on holidays. It'll be fun.
He's ashamed of me, said Nori, her eyes teared up. You're all ashamed of me.
Aunt Margot shook her head. Not true. They want what's best for you, and I can't wait to get to know you again.
The energy drained from Nori's body. Father, Hawthorne, Dahlia, the two bats, the three toads, the ferret, the toucan, the pair of mice, and the 12 rabbits. None of them wanted her. Hawthorne handed Nori's duffel to Aunt Margot.
What about a jacket? Margot said. Does she have a jacket?
Hawthorne said.
Get your jacket, Aunt Margot told Nori.
Nori did.
Button it up.
Nori did.
Say goodbye to Hawthorne and Dahlia.
In a fog, Nori said goodbye.
Hold on to my shoulders now, Aunt Margot told Nori. And whatever you do, don't let go.
The night air tingled on Nori's skin. The moon, just rising, glowed bright. Down below, the towers of Sage Academy disappeared. Then, the lights of Nori's hometown were gone, too. Nori and Margot flew over black blobs that looked like forests and black blobs that looked like buildings. The roads were lit up by streetlights and tiny cars. At one point, a family of crows flew alongside them. Nori reached out to touch them, but they swooped away. Aunt Margot wasn't chatty. She was concentrating. Eventually, they flew down to the lights of a small town built on a hillside. Little houses with porches were jammed up against one another, many of them brightly lit inside. Aunt Margot landed in a yard full of flowers next to a very small, very old wooden house. A battered welcome sign hung from the door. This is your new home, Aunt Margot said proudly. Number 14 Clover Street in Dunwiddle. She pointed to the right. 6 blocks that way and 4 blocks over is Dunwiddle Magic School.
What kind of school is it? Nori said.
It's a school, said Aunt Margot. A public school.
Nori's legs quivered.
It's a nice place, Margot continued. Not fancy like Sage Academy, which I would argue is a good thing. Just a school where you'll learn lots and make friends and have fun.
Oh, Nori said. But will they know what to do with my...
She couldn't get the words out.
My messed up magic.
Yes, Margot said. They have a great new program geared towards students like you.
Like me?
Well, not exactly like you, because there's only one Nori.
Aunt Margot smiled at her, as if being the only Nori wasn't a bad thing.
But the school has just started a class for kids who struggle with magic. It's new this year. Isn't that exciting?
Struggle with magic? Oh, no.
Nori had heard rumors of programs like this. There were a few in New York City, one in Miami. She was going to be in a particular class for the worst of the wonky.
What's it called? Nori asked.
She had a bad feeling in her gut.
Aunt Margot walked up to the door of the house and unlocked it. It's called Upside Down Magic.